that have
Blog
roughly the same
radio.
Components as I heard it be.
Okay, I guess the auto recording didn't play again. Dang Blog Talk Radio. Hey, gosh, dang
it,
darn
it. It didn't even hardly play the Blog Talk Radio part.
Well, I clicked over about that time. I got to do all the dial-in stuff before I merge back in. Otherwise, it's not going to do the auto-dial stuff. In fact, it didn't do all of the auto-dial stuff. This time, I had to do some of it. I don't know. Anyways, so, hello again, and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine portion, or the Blog Talk Radio portion of the Free Food and Medicine portion of the Manic Monday podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, today's topic?
All heal.
Prunella bulgarius.
Yeah. You actually did pretty good on that.
Thank you. YouTube helped. Okay, so.
Here's my dyslexia kicking in. It's got three names. I was wondering why they repeated one.
They didn't.
No, they didn't. It's heal all, self heal, and all heal. But,
yeah.
You know, hey, I have dyslexia. And so all heal and heal all, you know, registered as the same name to me.
Yes, this is a miracle herb. Everyone should have one.
Well, yeah, it's right up there with mountain basil. From Greece.
Yeah, like dandelions.
Right. I'm talking in the mint family. Mountain basil. That's the one you want for your.
That's the one. What?
For your essential oil.
Oh, right.
Wait a minute. I might be getting that wrong. Do. What's the one that they often substitute Mexican sage for? They sell it in the store and say it's one thing, it's really Mexican sage.
Oh, either sage, just regular sage, or clary sage.
No. It's not a sage that they're saying that it is. I think it's a basil.
Oh, I don't know. I don't do that kind of trickery.
Right. Yeah, well, the grocery stores do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the grocery stores do. Well, it's, you know, because things taste similar, so they get away with it. All right? But Mexican sage is cheaper. I'm pretty sure it's basil. Anyway, so it's, all right, tea tree oil does a lot of stuff, but there's an essential oil that pretty much kills most funguses and, you know, is antiviral and antibacterial, and it pretty well, it's as close to a universal healer as you can get, all right? But it's not 100%. It's like 99.9%. So there's things that slip through. And this all heal looks like it's another one of that nature. It does
right.
A lot.
That would be the Melaleuca family, basically, of the essential oils. Tea tree being one of them.
Right.
Sage is
yeah,
really
so,
good
you know,
one too, but it's not in the Melaleuca family.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of it, and, you know, if I was just walking through the field, and all I saw was the leaves, I didn't see it flowering, it would not strike me as being in, you know, from these pictures, it would not strike me as being in the mint family. Because most mints have a sawtooth edge on their leaf. Most things in the mint family. And this one appears to have a smooth edge. But it has the classic opposing leaves, square stem, and the flower is very definitely a mint family flower.
You know, it don't taste like mint,
look at
though.
The individual flower. No, it doesn't taste like mint. Well, nor does basil. A lot of them don't taste like mint.
It's good, though.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much the mint family you're pretty safe with. A friend of ours who was very deep into herbs had pointed out to me, though, that there was a couple in the mint family that you don't want to just be eating randomly. Because one, well, Kano might want it, it reduces sex drive.
Not sex drive. I don't want to reduce that. I want to reduce
sex.
Fertility.
Right. Well, this one reduces fertility by reducing your interest.
Right. No, you might want that
right.
one.
And I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he pointed that out. And then he did point out that there's a couple of them that might be considered poisonous. For the most part, are safe. Say what?
I already lost my interest. Go ahead.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, self-heal, heal all. all heal, whichever you want to call it. You're saying it grows just about anywhere.
Just about anywhere. Well, they said it barely grows in the deep woods. It usually grows in yards, trails, fields, stuff like that. But
out in the open.
They like out in the open. They like sunlight.
Right. Now he said something odd in the middle of it. He says it's more rosmarinic than rosemary. Is that because it tastes like rosemary or what? I'm not sure what he's saying by that.
It tastes probably because it doesn't have a fragrance.
Well, it might taste plain then. Because there's a whole bunch of mint family herbs over on the quarry land that... Oh, I looked it up once. It's good for a psychological condition, but I can't remember what it is.
I remember you telling me about that.
Right. It looks just like peppermint, but it tastes like grass. It has no essential oil flavor to it whatsoever. I mean, there's probably an essential oil in it, but it's going to be one that has no smell. It is not aromatic.
That's pretty much the way this one is. It's got a flavor.
Okay.
I can't remember what the flavor was, but yeah, it doesn't really have a fragrance. It grows 1 to 2 feet tall, not very tall. At first glance, I thought it was comfrey, but then I looked a little bit closer, and I was like, no, that's not comfrey. But I didn't know what it was, so we had to look it up. But,
right.
Apparently, according to Marcus Rothkrantz's book, it is very popular for its use with herpes 1 and 2, also used for kidney problems, AIDS, liver, heart tumors, cancer,
AIDS.
Diabetes. Yeah, that fake disease, it doesn't really exist.
Yeah, that fake disease. Yeah, everything cures AIDS because it doesn't really exist.
Right. So AIDS, liver problems, heart problems, tumors, cancer, diabetes, abrasions, cuts, which is pretty pretty much the same thing as abrasions. Bruises, sprains, ulcers, diarrhea, fever, sore throat, laryngitis. And it's an astringent. You can make a tea,
right.
Salve, cream, use in the salad, or make cold water infusions by putting chopped or crushed or powdered leaves in cold or lukewarm water. Another thing, while I was looking it up on the internet, the interweb, is it's good for inflammation, and it's also good for UV protection. So if you're going to be out in the sun, you need to be eating this. It'll help protect you from UV ray damage.
Eating it or making a cream out of it?
You might even be able to make a cream out of it and protect it from UV damage, but I think ideally you would want to eat it.
Probably both. But the interesting thing about that, though, is you said it covers both types of UV radiation.
Yeah, there's three types of UV radiation, but the third type is a short wave, and it doesn't even reach the planet. It only it basically just barely reaches our atmosphere, and it gets absorbed by the ozone.
Right.
So yeah, you got UVA and UVB, and I'm not sure which is which.
Right. I do know that the salves and the creams they give you, the chemical stuff, it blocks the one that gives you a tan, but it doesn't block the one that gives you cancer.
Or it's the one that gives you cancer.
Well, yeah, it potentially could give you cancer directly from its chemical constituents. But it inhibits your body's ability to generate a sunburn. And the sunburn is God's way of telling you, or nature's way of telling you, get the heck out of the sun. Yes, you need some sunlight, but too much is too much. You know? So when your skin starts to redden, it's time to get out of the sun. You know, so, you know, putting that SPF stuff on it, you know, that you're masking a symptom. You're inhibiting your body's ability to function. And,
properly.
Yeah, properly. So, yeah, the sun's good for you, but too much is not. So. And your body knows when it's got too much because, you know, your skin starts to prickle. Time to get out of the sun.
Well, and your body can adjust, too. You know, I was talking to this one sales guy who was trying to sell me on a product who lives in Florida. And he was basically saying the natives there can stay out in the sun more because their bodies are used to it. They've acclimated to it because they're out in the sun regularly, and they're, you know, but the tourists, they can't handle it as much because they're not used to it. So your body adapts
right.
to its surroundings. The more you're in it, the more your body's used to it, and the more the body builds up, I would say, an immunity to it, but it adapts. You know, you get more melanin in the skin, and therefore your body can reflect or reject some of these bad rays that are coming in. And of course, taking herbs helps the body do those sort of things and basically protects you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a combination between protection and being able to repair.
That too. But there's people who stay out and work out in the sun all day long. And, you know, and have for years and, you know, centuries. and, you know, different cultures, environments, or, you know, cultures and whatnot. And they never got cancer. You know, it's like, it's the new age that's getting cancer. We, the next generation, you know, whatever, a smart, educated, non-heathen, non-native people are the ones getting cancer because we're not doing the things that they used to do back in the day. Those savages,
right,
were more educated than we are.
Pretty much.
And we're supposed to be, what do they call,
enlightened.
Civilized. Civilized. We're civilized. And we're getting cancer and fake diseases or man-made diseases where the other people, they don't have that problem. Our great-grandparents,
yeah,
they didn't have that problem.
Now.
Right? Our great-grandparents, they didn't have those problems. But we do. Why? Because we're getting away from God's medicine.
Right. We're not listening to that Holy Spirit telling us what we should know. Well,